Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Steve Yeager, Chair of Assembly Judiciary, here at the Sahara Hotel for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Calamity. It lurks around every corner. Or not.
That's why UMC Quick Care is around every corner, with locations around the valley.
UMC Quick Care. For all your small calamities.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail. We help it grow. And we mean business.
RANNV.org.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
Calamity. It lurks around every corner. Or not.
That's why UMC Quick Care is around every corner, with locations around the valley.
UMC Quick Care. For all your small calamities.
Nevada Newsmakers Studio is located at the headquarters of the Nevada Trucking Association. Motion and purpose are a truck's greatest virtue.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you this time from the Sahara Hotel in Las Vegas. And we're delighted, as always, to welcome back to the program Steve Yeager. He is the Chair of Assembly Judiciary. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
It's great to be here, Sam.
So we have to start off, obviously, at the time we're taping this, it's only been a couple of days since the announcement of the Super Bowl. Coming to Las Vegas, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I had my fingers crossed, so definitely exciting. I mean, I've gotten so many text messages from friends, mostly asking if I can get them tickets, and the answer is no, I can't afford the tickets myself. But, you know, how exciting for Las Vegas, and, you know, I grew up in Michigan, and I'm a long-suffering Detroit Lions fan, and they're one of the few franchises who have never made it to a Super Bowl, but I feel like the stars are aligning, and maybe, just maybe, when the Super Bowl is here, the Lions will play in the game as well. That would sure be exciting, but regardless, it's just going to be great for Las Vegas and for tourism and the money that comes in, and just all those promo cutaway scenes from the Super Bowl and the Las Vegas Strip. I mean, I'm really, really excited about it, and I think you'll see that we'll host more than one here because we'll do it upright.
I think, to say the least. Marilyn Kirkpatrick was on the program, and I asked her if she thought this would be like NFR, a 10-day event. She said, no, probably more like a 20 to 30-day event. Does that concur with you?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, certainly anything we can do to bring people into town, and there's all kinds of events that happen around the Super Bowl, and I think most people don't realize that, right, because they just focus on the game. But I think it's going to, you know, there'll be just a ton of activity going on here. So we should extend that as long as we can. However we can promote this, we can advance it, we can bring people here. But I agree with that. I think it's going to be, you know, 2-3 weeks of solid activity and buzz in Las Vegas around that game.
What do you think about the potential for the A's coming? Or are we a stalking horse for that?
Yeah, I don't know. Really interesting. I've been following those stories as well. Obviously, they're still trying to work with the city of Oakland on a stadium. That stadium they play in is not good. I've been to a number of games there. So I hope we're in the running. I mean, I just don't know. I think they have to figure out a way to make it work in terms of the stadium and that. But just really interesting how quickly we've gone from, like, no professional sports teams, to also and everyone wants to be here. So I think it shows on the front end that, you know, that gamble that we took was right to try to bring professional sports here. And I sure would love to have a professional baseball team, but, you know, we'll see how that plays out with Oakland and with Las Vegas.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just another example of the reinvention. And there's an irony with the Mirage being sold now. I mean, it's going to be turned into a great property with Hard Rock taking it over. But at the same time, that was the icon 30 years mm-hmm. ago that changed the face of Las Vegas. Now it's sports that have changed the face of Las Vegas, and it's really remarkable.
Yeah, I mean, the old adage about Vegas, right? The only constant is change, and we see that, not just on the Strip, but certainly with the sports teams. And I mean, just who would have thought how successful the Golden Knights would have been? And you go to a game now, and it's just as exciting as it was in the inaugural season. And you know, I haven't been to a Raiders game yet, but I've certainly been around the stadium, and I've seen the traffic and particularly the away teams that come here and make a weekend out of it. I mean, I think that's what everyone hoped it could be. And so it's just nice to see that actually happening. And then in addition, all the other great events that are happening at T-Mobile, at Allegiant Stadium. So it's just really exciting time to be in Las Vegas. And I think if you would have told us 10 years ago we would be here, I don't think anyone would have believed you. So I don't know what it's going to look like in 10 years. I'm not going to try to predict, because probably be totally different than what we think.
Yeah, and you know, there are people whose job it is to plan out 20 to 30 mm-hmm. years, but I'm always interested in other topics, perhaps more serious topics, when people say, well, at the turn of the century, it's going to be, and I'm like, no. If you look back 50, 100 years, who could have predicted where we would be today? It's hard to predict where things are going to end up. But yes, a very exciting time for Las Vegas, and not only all of the sports, but Adele. Hello.
I mean,
you know, it was funny when they were first talking about Allegiant Stadium, they were saying that finally we have a venue where Adele could play, because she hadn't played in Las Vegas. And that's 65,000, maybe 70,000 seats. She's now playing in a 4,000 seat venue. So, but you look at the ticket prices, and my goodness.
Yeah, my goodness is right. I mean, a little out of my price range, but the market's there, right? I mean, they sold out like instantly. So it tells you what the demand is. And, you know, I think a little bit, obviously different genres of music, but when Garth Brooks came here and did his residency at the Wynn, I believe it was, or the Encore. I mean, those tickets were expensive too, but what you got out of that was a very small, intimate, exclusive venue. And you're going to get that with Adele as well. So although there's something to be said for those big stadium experiences, there's also something nice about being in a smaller space, but you got to pay a premium for those tickets, right, to make it work financially. So I'm hoping at some point they'll reduce the ticket prices, and maybe I'll be sitting way in the back in the standing room only. But you know, I think when they announced that residency and the tickets went on sale, I mean, it was all over my Twitter timeline. Was anyone was talking about trying to get Adele tickets? And so obviously that, you know, people outside of Las Vegas hear that too, and I think you'll see people coming here to see Adele and doing exactly what we want them to do, staying at hotels, taking advantage of our restaurants. And so just, you know, really exciting for Las Vegas. And beyond Adele, I mean, Resorts World is bringing some new acts in as well. I think Carrie Underwood has a residency
right,
now.
Yes.
So, I mean, we are quickly moving beyond the gambling and the restaurants. And we've always sort of been the entertainment capital of the world, but we used to think boxing and UFC. Well, now you're seeing sports, big name concerts and residencies. So, you know, what a wonderful time to live here and a wonderful time to visit.
Somebody made the comment on the show when Resorts World was coming that they are bringing Asian style gaming to Las Vegas as against Las Vegas exporting its practices to the rest of the world. And I think that's a very interesting thing too. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, when you're talking about money, it seems like when people come to Las Vegas, there is no limit on the budget. So, you know, buying tickets for two people that are going to run $400 or $500, and that's for, you know, going to a Cirque show, that seems to be nothing. Now you throw in dinner and a hotel room and stay a couple of nights, it's amazing how much money people are willing to spend. But then look at the nightclubs from
right.
10 years ago, and people were dropping a couple of $1,000 on a bottle of champagne.
Yeah, and I think that's a really cool thing about Las Vegas, right? I mean, it can be anything you want it to be. If you come here and you're on a budget, you can find cheap places to stay. You can find cheap places
Wait,
to gamble.
Would you share some of those?
Well, I will say cheaper. I mean, certainly Fremont Street downtown offers, you know, some value that you don't have on the Las Vegas Strip, but it really runs a gamut. I mean, you want to come here and spend tens of thousands of dollars on a nightclub and concert and the highest end food, that's available too. And so for me, you know, sometimes I look at the Strip and I just think about all the different things that are going on at any given time on the Las Vegas Strip. And so, you know, that's why I think it's exciting, right? And with us finally opening back up and tourism starting to come back, I think a lot of people save that money from the last year. They usually come every year, right? So maybe they have a little bit more in the budget where they can splurge on those kind of things, because certainly, despite the prices, everything is selling out and restaurants are crowded. So it's a good thing.
It's a very exciting time, and finally to be coming, hopefully, on the other side of all this COVID.
Yeah, let's hope.
Let's take a break, and we'll come back to some other issues beyond entertainment after this timeout.
7 at 7 is available anytime, anywhere.
I'm Riley Smith with your Vegas Golden Knights. Watch 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Streaming on LVRJ.com and Twitter, powered by the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Modern boutique Ahern Hotel and Events Center in Las Vegas. Host meetings and events on two floors. Stay in luxurious rooms and suites. Unlimited branding opportunities. Regional Italian cuisine by Chef Mark Segrisi. Flexible event spaces. Full buyout options. Visit ahernhotel.com today.
I'm Jeff Gehrman, an investigative reporter with the Las Vegas Review-Journal. I'm your guide for season 2 of Mobbed Up, The Fight for Las Vegas.
You're in with every gangster and hoodlum in the United States.
I don't go for that, Mr. Kennedy. I don't go for that kind of action.
I was on television accused of fronting for the mob.
Subscribe to Mobbed Up, The Fight for Las Vegas, Season 2, today on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Before the masks, before the distancing, before the world changed, UMC was ready. Our response to COVID-19 began before the crisis did, with our own team of infectious disease experts who've spent their careers planning for this moment. With a pandemic response plan we'd practiced again and again, and by blazing new trails in large-scale testing, including every patient we admit. Always ready. UMC.
7 at 7 is available anytime, anywhere.
I'm Riley Smith with your Vegas Golden Knights. Watch 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Streaming on LVRJ.com and YouTube, powered by the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers. No, it is not entertainment tonight, but we were for a minute there with Steve Yeager, who's the chair of Assembly Judiciary. I wanted to talk to you more serious topics here in terms of what's going on in the state and what's going on in politics, and that is the inflation we're seeing right now. People are being hurt at the gas pumps. People are being hurt at the grocery store, where, you know, we've seen Democrats in the state appear to be having a comfortable lead and moving towards supermajorities in both houses. How do you feel that this inflation is now playing in to the upcoming election cycle?
Yeah, well, certainly concerning. I mean, anytime you have inflation, and I think it's worse than it's been in quite a long time. But I will say this, it's maybe not surprising where we are. I mean, we've never had to deal with a pandemic like this. Now, we've dealt with a pandemic before as a country, but not in the sort of globalized world that we live in now. So I think some of this was unavoidable in a sense that, you know, trying to get the economy back open, trying to make sure people have the money and resources they need to survive has now led to, you know, what really is the classic supply and demand issue, where we're having trouble getting supply into the country, but the demand is there and the money is there. So obviously concerning, but I think the good news is everything I've sort of read, economically speaking, the predictions are by first quarter of next year, things should start to settle down a little bit more. I think if the federal government passes the Build Back Better Act, that's projected to help with inflation as well. So,
in what way?
Well, just, you know, being able to make sure that, you know, the jobs that will be created by that in the state of Nevada will help, you know, put people back to work. I think some of that is working on the supply chain as well to make sure we're getting products in. So I want to tell you, know all the details, but the projection I've seen say that they really believe that would help with inflation. So it's on the top of everyone's mind. I mean, no one likes to go to the gas pump and pay more. No one likes to go to the grocery store and pay more. But I think we're starting to come out of that. And it's just a bit of a tricky time with, during the pandemic, making sure that people were going to be okay and are going to be healthy and be able to survive. And now we're seeing sort of the economic side of that. But, you know, I think we all have a vested interest in making our dollars go further. And so we'll continue to try to work to do that And you know, the other side of that is the workers as well, right? We just haven't gotten back to full-time employment, and I think there are a lot of reasons for that. There are a lot of speculation out there.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing that really is the discussion topic for every business owner I talk to. It isn't even just the money, unless you're going to be offering somebody $50 an hour, and there are some jobs that are offering that kind of money. But what is it going to take to get people to go back to work? Because you've still got restaurants here in Las Vegas, as you do in the north, that are only open 5 days a week, or restaurants that have two venues and one is shut because they can't get enough employees.
Right. Well, great question. And, you know, I think to really get us clicking like we were before the pandemic, I mean, we have to sort of move beyond this, right? And so it seems like every time we take a step forward, we take a couple steps back, the positivity rate goes up, there's a new variant. But, you know, in my mind, the more folks we can get vaccinated, the better. Because restaurants being open 4 or 5 days a week, I mean, that's a hard sell to employees. Do you want to come back to work, but you're only going to be working part-time? And, you know, maybe they don't feel comfortable there. So it's just, I think we've got to sort of see the light at the end of the tunnel. And we're not quite there yet, but I think we're close. And I think once we get there, you know, we've sort of fully opened back up in the Las Vegas way, 24 hours a day, you know, 7 days a week. I think you'll see people more willing to go back to work. And, you know, I also think the pandemic really made people look in the mirror. I mean, a lot of people look in the mirror and say, you know, what am I really doing for employment? And am I happy there? Am I satisfied? Do I feel like I'm being paid what I'm worth? And I think some people have said, no, I don't. And so, you know, what does that next iteration of our economy look like? And is it more work from home? And so, you know, these things are all sort of intersecting at the same time. But I think, you know, we've got to turn that page because we're seeing the demand, but we've got to get the supply side. And that means tourism, that means the service industry as well, because people want to come here, but they want to have a good experience, and having places shut down is not the way to do it.
No. I had concerns. I was recently in California, and there you have to show your vax card and your ID to be able to eat indoors in a restaurant. And I just felt it was really inappropriate that a young hostess was being the police in a restaurant, rather than, if the state wants to impose these kind of regulations, then it shouldn't be on kids that are being forced to do the enforcement. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly sympathize with that. You know, the workers are the people that are on the front line, right? And so if there are policies in place, they're the ones that have to enforce them. You know, I guess it's a double-edged sword in the way, right? Because a lot of times people say, well, we don't want the state coming in and telling us what to do because we think local control is better, or each business can decide for themselves. So, you know, if those policies are put in place at the local level or the business level, I do think there has to be some kind of support for those frontline workers, right? They shouldn't be put in that position, particularly when it's been politicized the way that it has been. So, you know, I sympathize with that. I just think whatever you're going to ask people to do, you've got to be willing to give them support. You can't be asking someone who just started last week to be arguing with people about whether they're wearing masks or have a vaccine card. If that's your policy, that's your policy, but it shouldn't fall on those workers.
I wanted to ask you, in terms, you know, obviously you were the lead on criminal justice reform, and you're probably going to be looking at more things to do with that in the next legislative session. But in Oakland, California, and Berkeley, San Francisco, the rate of crime connected to smash and grabs and people going into department stores, they just beefed up police action in Union Square in San Francisco because it was so bad. And a lot of retailers point to the rise in the amount of money that you had to get to for it to be criminally enforced. Do you have any concerns or regrets about what we did here in Nevada in terms of that?
I mean, I don't at this point. I mean, you obviously talked about, you know, Oakland, which is different than Las Vegas. But I think what we really tried to do in the criminal justice reform was make smart reforms. And so the issue about what is the appropriate threshold where something becomes a misdemeanor or a felony, I mean, it really was based on, you know, sort of this the data and, you know, what dissuades people and really what we learned really in all crimes. It's not necessarily the punishment that is going to deter somebody from committing the crime. It's the chance of getting caught, right? And it's why, you know, for instance, with DUIs and speeding, that visual of a police officer there on the side of the road deters people because it's not really the fine. They don't think about it. They think, am I going to get caught? So some of these sort of issues we're talking about, theft, breaking into cars, those just have to be priorities for local law enforcement to be able to actually solve those cases, right? Because there are criminal penalties. You might think they're too high or they're too low, but they're there. So it becomes a resource issue on our police department, on our prosecutors, to say we're going to take those things seriously. And I don't think we're at a point in Nevada where we've done anything that would prevent that from happening. I mean, it really is a priority and a resource issue for local law enforcement and prosecutors' offices.
Okay, but you don't think that the dollar amounts being raised like that have resulted in more criminal activity?
I don't believe so, at least not in Las Vegas, and I haven't heard that or seen any data to support it. Certainly if that's out there, I would love to see it, and I'm always willing to look at these things and readdress if we think we did something that wasn't smart or didn't have the result that we wanted, but I haven't heard of that happening in Las Vegas, at least. I can't speak to Oakland because they may have different philosophies about prosecuting and arresting than we do here in Las Vegas, but
to be honest, and this is a very sad thing to say, I think that the Bay Area, and I don't want to say everywhere, but in certain portions of the Bay Area, it is very sad to see the amount of homeless camps mm-hmm. that are there. And these smash and grabs, of which my wife and I were luckily not involved in, could have been probably seconds away. I think the person standing next to our car realized that there were two people sitting in it and got mm-hmm. into a speeding car and got away. But that really brought it home as to how dangerous it is in some parts of the Bay Area these days.
Yeah, no, certainly that's a very scary situation to be in. When it comes to things like smash and grabs, largely those are they're crimes of desperation, or they're crimes of people who have substance use disorders too, all right? It's people looking for quick money so they can get their next fix. So some of that has to be dealt with on the front end, right? We can't continue to pretend these problems don't exist in society and then act surprised when people engage in these criminal activities for whatever reason. So, I certainly would love to see, not just here but around the country, more investment on the front end to take care of some of those issues, because between mental health and substance abuse disorders, that really does foster a lot of the property crimes that we're talking about.
All right, let's take another break. More with Steve Yeager after this timeout.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. At Design Outdoor, we specialize in all hardscapes, pavers, and walls you'll need for everything, from wonderful small yards to full-blown outdoor living. And we only refer the best contractors to make your vision a reality. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and because I represent men in all family law matters, women often call me gender traitor, woman hater, and even disgusting. So why represent men and target myself with these offensive monikers? It's simple. Children with fathers in their lives are 6 times less likely to drop out of school, 15 times less likely to go to prison, and 5 times less likely to commit suicide. So ladies, you can hate me, but please love your children more than you hate their fathers.
As you know, Reno is booming. Tolls Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Tolls Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Each day, the Children's Advocacy Alliance partners with leaders, legislators, and families across Nevada to improve children's health, education, economic well-being, and safety. We recognize Nevada will be no better than the state of its children. Be a part of this change. Be a supporter of the Children's Advocacy Alliance. For more information, go to caanv.org.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Steve Yeager. He's the chair of Assembly Judiciary. And I'm not bringing up a topic that everybody wants me to bring up, and they all know what it is, but we'll save that for another day.
Okay.
Civil asset forfeiture. Your position on this, and do you believe it's as outrageous as the editorials in the Review Journal think it is?
Yeah, so civil asset forfeiture, obviously, as you know, it's basically, when your property gets taken without any kind of criminal conviction, which is why it's called civil.
Usually, for example, if you have $50,000 legally in your car, and you get stopped on the highway, the police can take that money and there is no due process.
Yeah, there's no due process, or there's very little due process, very confusing due process. So I'm a believer in, you know, you have the right to your property. So I don't think the system that we have is a just system. I don't think it's an effective system. The last couple of sessions of the legislature, we've tried to reform the system to say, look, if you're going to take someone's property, it has to be like in tandem with a criminal case, right? And you get a criminal conviction, you can keep the property. You don't keep it. But that way it's one judge, not different courts. Unfortunately, we've been unsuccessful in getting that passed.
Why do you think?
There are a lot of reasons. I mean, you know, there's financial interests that come into play. Some of the law enforcement that works on these issues, they actually keep some of the money. So there's that. And prosecutors' offices, too, they like to have they like the way of doing things that they've always done it, right? And so when we've talked about changing that, bringing in more process, there's always been this sort of resistance. But I think unless we reform it, we're going to continue to see some of the really egregious cases that we've read about in the news where, you know, a veteran has $100,000 in cash that he saved up to buy a house, and next thing you know, the police take it and he has little recourse, if any. So if anyone's offended by reading about that, the problem is the way the process works in the law. It's broken. It needs to be fixed.
And that's where we have to leave it. Always a pleasure to see you, sir. Thank you for doing this.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
And we'll be right back.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts. And now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian. And at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety, too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions. And all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority, and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Thanks for watching Nevada Newsmakers. We'll see you on the next broadcast.